When it comes to marriage, sure, you're marrying your partner, not their family. However, their family may be the most concerning of everything, not to mention the difficulties you two face on your own. It's much more worrying when no one has the courage to stand up against a domineering, narcissistic, victim-claiming ringleader who simply wants you to give in to their every demand and psychologically abuse you until you break down under pressure. I'm your host, MC, and this is episode 34 of the MC Horror Podcast. I was always a very naive, innocent kind of person. I was the type of optimist who believed there was a touch of goodness in every heart, which is a dangerous mindset to be in. I realize now that seeing the world through my rose-colored glasses put a big flashing red target on my back. Often, when you think of scary stories involving creepy behavior and psychological abuse, you think of an occurrence from a stranger. In my case, it came from my mother-in-law. My husband's mother initially adored me, not for any reason other than thinking that I could be easily controlled. I was meek with a passive personality, so it made sense that I would come across as someone who could be easily influenced. Looking back on it, I cringe at how creepy the situation really was. For the sake of this story, I'll call my mother-in-law by the name of Mrs. Psycho. At the beginning of my relationship with my husband, Mrs. Psycho and I were getting along great, or so I thought. She'd take me shopping, give compliments about my hair, and girly stuff like that. As the relationship with my partner grew more serious, she'd rant and rave to everyone in our neighborhood about how much she adored me and how I was like the daughter she never had. So naturally, I thought things were progressing positively. But certain things were just really off about Mrs. Psycho. I noticed little tidbits of her behavior at parties and neighborhood social gatherings. She'd sulk in a corner, and I'd chuck it up as her being socially awkward or anxious. But looking back at it now, I noticed that she was always whimpering about something negative going on in her life, how she fell off her bike and hurt her elbow while riding through a construction zone, how one neighbor complained about her parking in front of his house, losing her job because she didn't get along with a coworker. The list went on and on. In every story, she portrayed herself as a victim of some unusual circumstances. One huge red flag that I didn't understand at the time was the story she was always telling about her other son, which was my partner's brother. She'd say some really over-the-top things about how he'd presumably held her, my partner, and his dad hostage in their own home and how he'd punched their father in the face. The way she described the story made it sound a lot more intense than my partner seemed to think it was. In all her wild stories and accusations about the other son of hers, she always scolded him in ways that I just can't imagine ever scolding my own child. What my husband and I didn't fully interpret at the time was the underlying problem, which wasn't necessarily his brother, but the woman, who had been a driving force for the insanity behind the behavior. Psychological abuse, I've learned, can trigger emotional responses in very unpredictable and disturbing ways. Mrs. Psycho's behavior became evidently creepy after our engagement. She showed signs of unhealthy enmeshment. First, she was angry that we didn't tell her immediately when we'd gotten engaged. Then, she was angry when we changed the wedding date without first asking for her permission. She expressed a desire for my future husband and me to live upstairs in her house and pay her rent. We told her that we can afford our own home and we wanted to start a family, so that wouldn't work out. The infuriation in her eyes was frightening. She would look normal one moment, and then if you told her something she didn't want to hear, her eyes would turn an ominous black. The memory of her eyes still sends a haunting chill down my spine. From there, she became increasingly controlling. Mrs. Psycho and her husband, let's call him Mr. Psycho, would start showing up at our house every other day or so. I started counting how long they could go without having to see us, and that number came to a mere 3 days. There was no privacy, and I felt that I had to close the curtains over our windows every night. Just a feeling, you know? I also locked the bedroom door as a routine before bed just to feel extra secure. Despite our relationship being pleasant in the beginning, I was now in the realm of uncharted territory, feeling like I was treading on eggshells about Mr. Psycho, or rather landmines. I realized I couldn't talk to her like I used to be able to when her son and I were just dating. She'd constantly find something to be offended about, mainly with anything I said, no matter how innocent. I remember when we'd used to be able to have nice, in-depth conversations, and I had allowed myself to be vulnerable with her. I confided in her about how I had a lot of social anxiety and that her son came into my life during a time when I was suffering from crippling depression. I talked about how he'd brought a ray of sunshine into my life, thinking that speaking kindly about her son would please her, but she just had this unfeeling, glazing look across her face. Hoping to mend my relationship with her, I decided to help her out one day by organizing her antiques. She had this hobby of going to auctions and buying and selling knickknacks, buttons, and stuff like that. She would get very proud of her collections and things that I sort of thought was junk, but to be polite, I told her I saw beauty in these things, hoping to get back on her good side. There were some creepy dolls in the mix, including this horrifying-looking vampire doll with piercing red eyes. She said she'd had that doll for years and used to scare her sons with it when they were just little kids. She laughed at the memory when she spoke, and the sound had an eerie, satanical vibe to it. As if this wasn't enough to freak me out, she then told me this story about how a female coworker complained about her to the HR department at her company. To seek revenge on this woman, Mrs. Psycho wrote a letter that was meant for the coworker's husband, telling him that she was cheating on him. To remain as anonymous as possible, she told me how she'd slipped on a pair of black gloves and drove the letter to a faraway location so that her address couldn't be traced. I remember feeling very uneasy about her story, wondering how she could get angry enough to drive hours away just to cause emotional harm to another human being. There came a point after hearing this story when I didn't want to be left alone with my partner's mom anymore. He tried to talk to his parents about how I was feeling, like I was on eggshells around them, but they flipped the narrative to say that they were the ones feeling on eggshells around me. During this time, I painstakingly realized that psychological torture exists in the form of extreme invalidation. Not having your feelings acknowledged can really drive a person crazy. It was then that I felt a little more clued in to what may have happened to Mrs. Psycho's other son. I can't be sure because I never met the guy, but I think he was driven mad by his mother's severe emotional neglect. I honestly can't say I can blame the guy. Now she was pulling the same tricks on me and my partner, gaslighting us into believing that we were just too sensitive. It was maddening. When my husband and I started figuring out that something was off, things got even creepier. His parents started showing up at our house to corner us into submission. What I mean is, they'd tell us stories to make them seem like victims so that we would give in to the demands they wanted at the time. If we denied their requests, they'd use psychological manipulation by telling us that we were uncaring or ungrateful. One demonstration of this manipulation was when I became pregnant. I explained that the smell of pizza made me extremely sick, but this was ignored. When Mrs. Psycho insisted that we go to a pizza restaurant for her birthday, I was confused with why I felt like I couldn't say no. My husband was in the same predicament. Somehow, I think we sensed that something bad would happen to us if we declined. This is also because Mrs. Psycho's husband and her sister had contacted us, telling us explicitly that we weren't allowed to say no to her dinner invitations anymore. They explained it like, saying no hurts her feelings. But there was something else there that I couldn't quite explain. Something hidden beneath the surface that sounded really threatening. I had no idea why, but I just did not feel safe. Then, only 2 weeks after giving birth to our daughter, I had the creepiest interaction of my life. Mrs. Psycho caught me alone while I was on my front porch. The weather was really nice, so I was rocking my baby in one of our outdoor chairs. She came up to the doorstep and assumed a seat in a chair next to me. Then in a quiet, ominous voice, she said to me,
"You have to share her, you know."
Her black eyes flicked to the infant in my arms. I know what you might be thinking, but this wasn't said in a cute, excited new grandma kind of way. Her voice sounded cold and possessive with certain passive-aggressive intent behind the statement. I naturally clutched my arms around my daughter tighter, feeling a protective instinct take over me. Mrs. Psycho had expressed to me before that she'd always wanted to have a daughter, but was only ever able to have sons. Maybe I was being influenced by the postpartum hormones or just overall feeling paranoid, but a disturbing thought occurred to me that she might want to get rid of me somehow to have my daughter to herself. I later told my husband about the bizarre interaction with his mom and how I couldn't keep up with the heavy psychological demands of his parents anymore. It was all taking a strange emotional toll on me as well as a strain on our marriage, and at the time, I still couldn't pinpoint exactly why. I was blind to what was happening, and it was frightening. They were causing us a lot of stress, which was impacting me all the more while I was trying to adapt to my role as a new mother. They even restricted me in bizarre ways, telling me I was not allowed to refer to our daughter as my baby. The stress was enough to make me physically sick. I vomited regularly, and I honestly felt like I was going crazy, questioning what was wrong with me constantly. At first, my husband hesitated when I told him about my concerns, stating the usual spiel that was natural for him to say, that they were his parents, and he couldn't just drop contact with them. But something in his voice contained fear, and it wouldn't take long before he would realize how messed up the situation actually was. The incident that drove him to the point of cutting off his parents happened when they cornered us in our own living room demanding that we watch their unruly dog while they went on vacation for 5 days. My husband almost caved from fear, but I was proud of him when he stayed firm and told them, "No, we can't. We have a 2-month-old baby to look after." The murderous glare his mom then flashed at me was intense and enough to make me crawl out of my skin. I thought for sure that she was about to lunge at me and wring her ice-cold hands around my neck, causing me death by strangulation. I was terrified. Father-in-law and Mrs. Psycho eventually left our house, but they were clearly angry that they weren't able to convince us to conform to their will. My husband and I had a dark, suspicious feeling that something bad was about to happen. First, we received lengthy emails from Mrs. Psycho, mostly insulting me. She said she thought that I was brainwashing her son, and she went on to portray herself as a victim of my tyranny. She used the knowledge of my anxiety disorder to make an argument that I was mentally unstable and dangerous. She threatened to post about me on Facebook and make our life a living you-know-what if we didn't apologize for deviating from what she wanted. At the same time, she told me that I was dead to her and listed all the mistakes I've ever made in the past, as well as my faults. This stung, and we remained silent, needing space to recover from our wounds. We also were at a point where we did not want to engage with her much further. My husband and I were feeling pretty scared, spending most of our days cooped up in our bedroom, not knowing what to expect. I don't know how, but we somehow managed to stay strong through the agonizing process of separating from the toxic relationship. Mrs. Psycho proceeded to make good on her threat, posting about me publicly on Facebook. She said I was extremely crazy. She even went a step further, claiming that I had borderline personality disorder in all capital letters. It didn't end there, though. An active smear campaign against me ensued as Mr. and Mrs. Psycho actually went door to door to everyone's house in my community, posing as good citizens to warn everyone about their extremely dangerous, manipulative, 5-foot-tall daughter-in-law. My neighbors didn't react the way that was expected, though. They were warier of her than of me. Instead of ruining my reputation, which was the desired effect, Most people in my neighborhood were majorly creeped out by Mrs. Psycho's efforts. They were equally creeped out by Mr. Psycho's willingness to go along with the whole thing. My guess is, after years of being beaten down by his wife's abuse, he was just an empty shell of a man, a flying monkey to the proverbial wicked witch. There are a few doctors and therapists in my neighborhood who couldn't officially diagnose Mrs. Psycho because she wasn't their patient, but they believed off the record that she may have been projecting, meaning that she was, in essence, confessing that she is potentially dangerous and volatile while pinning it on me. This, along with some stories that surface of Mrs. Psycho's hostile interactions with other people in our neighborhood, confirmed that something was disturbingly off with this woman. This information made the situation all the more unsettling when Mr. and Mrs. Psycho showed up at our house for what we suspected would be a confrontation. My husband and I were watching Survivor in the living room with our baby when the doorbell rang. He crept to the front window to peer behind the curtain to see who it was. I could see the fear on his face. "It's my parents," he said, and my blood ran cold. I immediately ran with the baby upstairs, pausing only to tell him that it was his choice whether to answer the door or not since they're his parents, but that I and the baby would be hidden away. As I made my way up the stairs, my husband hovered by the front door, conflicted. He didn't know what to do. Meanwhile, I could hear jostling at the front door like his parents were trying to force their way inside our house with a spare key. I thank God to this day that we had just changed the locks a few days before, so they couldn't get in. I proceeded to run upstairs and close the bedroom door behind me, locking me and the baby inside. I held my daughter close, my heart thudding wildly against my chest. When there was a knock on the bedroom door, I reacted with a jolt. It scared me like a panic to the soul. My husband's voice on the other side calmed me down, though. He told me he didn't answer the door. He was trembling when I unlocked the door to let him in. His face was pale. He showed me a text message from his dad saying, "Anyone home?" Followed by another text from his mother, later saying,
"You're a coward, hiding behind your keyboard."
I don't know what would have happened if my husband had chosen to answer the door, but I still shudder when I think about it. My husband and I both blocked them after that. Phone numbers, social media accounts, everything. They moved away to another state, thank goodness. We have since had no contact with his parents for almost 2 years now, and our daughter is growing up in a happy, loving environment completely free of toxicity. I have since armed myself with knowledge so that I will be less naive about creepy behavior in the future. I've studied up on narcissism and the negative psychological impact that a narcissist can have on other people. I advise anyone out there to be aware that not all abuse is physical. As an update, we still receive random messages from an unknown account that we knew came from Mrs. Psycho and Mr. Psycho. Messages like, "I hope you two have a crappy anniversary," and "You're a match made in hell." Stuff like that. They also continue to play victims and say that we've banned them from seeing their grandchild. This bully-to-victim complex has actually been discussed across a wide variety of educational videos on the subject of narcissism. I should know. I researched it because I was extremely confused about what happened, and I questioned myself for a very long time. I couldn't figure out what I had done wrong or how things could get so out of hand with my in-laws. Confusion, as it turns out, is just another part of the cycle of this kind of psychological abuse. My husband and I continue blocking new accounts as vile messages from them pop up. It has since decreased in frequency, thank goodness. We can only hope that they've given up recently as more time passes without an unsolicited message, but I will add that the anticipation is the worst part. If you or anyone you know have a horror story that you'd like to be narrated on here, please fill out the form that's linked in the description below. There are also links to the music used, as well as if you want to submit some feedback to help improve your listening experience. Links to some articles and/or files about this story are linked as well. My friends, horror is all around us. We just try our best to avoid it. Once again, I'm your host, MC, signing out. Thanks for taking the time to check out the MC Horror Podcast. Have a great night.